inevitably you will find yourself in the abyss. Inevitably you will find yourself floating through a void, through some sort of ethereal place. I'm trying to come up with synonyms for it. Inevitably you will find yourself in an expanse, in an era of nothingness. And you look to either side and you say, where am I? Who am I? Is that all there is? Is there nothing more? I'm Mike McCafferty. I just want to talk about Star Trek here. And do I want to talk about Star Trek? Some of you, maybe none of you, might be saying, hey, where did you go? You went away for like 3 months. And in some ways, it coincides actually with me starting to watch a little bit of Star Trek Enterprise. I was watching with my son. You know, he likes watching Star Trek. My 17-year-old boy likes watching Star Trek. It is the best gift to me of being a father right now. Like when he says, Dad, you want to watch Star Trek? I'm like, yes, I do. And we could have easily watched some TNGs because there's some he still doesn't watch. He still doesn't watch Unification Parts 1 and 2. I'm like, we got to watch that. But he's also watched Enterprise. And I was like, you know, I haven't watched Enterprise as much as I should. So let's go back into it. So I started watching some of the later season ones. And I've been finding myself enjoying it. I've been finding myself with a Zindi plot line and you know, some of the fourth season stuff. I found myself actually enjoying it. And particularly, like, one of the subplots I missed was The Expanse. Not the TV show called The Expanse, which is, you know, now on Amazon, which is an excellent show. But when the Enterprise, the NX-01, goes through this area of space known as The Expanse, where strange and anomalous things happen. And it's kind of a good conceit, because if we're already exploring what we know to be known space eventually from TOS and TNG and beyond, why not make it weird there and not know, and not like that area is weird and there's a reason why it's weird and that's fine. There's this, you know, conglomeration of weirdo aliens. And so I was actually enjoying it, but the idea that they were in this sort of weird morass of nothingness. Kieran was talking about the void in Voyager, where there's this area. I started to feel a little bit about that. My relationship to Star Trek. Well, this is the 5-year mission right now. We are on, if you have been listening from the beginning, if you've not, if you've just shown up, welcome. This is a podcast about Star Trek. I grant you that. But it's also a Star Trek, it's also a podcast about me going through Star Trek, me moving through Star Trek and how I define myself. Back in 2016, I was going through my midlife crisis. Maybe I still am. But to reflect it, reflect myself through it. I guess I could be one of those Trek FM jackasses who's just like, hey, let's talk about this episode. Hey, let's talk about that. And you are welcome to go to those. And I think that's probably ultimately the destination of all of us, to go to these sort of places where they either reaffirm or are contrary to our beliefs about something that we just viewed. Like, oh, I just watched Picard. How do I feel about that? I'll check out this podcast. Oh, I don't feel that way. Oh, I do feel that way. Oh, good. I'm in alignment with this person who has a podcast, who has a YouTube channel, who has a television show. Great. My confirmation bias has been assured. And so that's not necessarily what you're getting out of this. This is a little bit of a rant here in this episode. This is also going to be on the Facebook page. This is me talking to myself. I'm looking at myself on this Zoom thing. I'm looking at myself in a picture of me. This is great. This is exactly what I want. I want to be in the expanse, the void of myself, to talk to myself. And you get to be privy to that. This is like a captain's log. This is my log. And for a little while, I was actually getting ready to double down and ramp up into even more Star Trek content. We just finished my Star Trek Dungeons & Dragons kind of mashup, and I was very happy with it. I was very excited to be playing like that weekly or bi-weekly version of that game, to be the GM, the game master of it. I'm getting a hard time calling it GM and not DM, because you have to be Dungeon Master when I was playing it 40 years ago. Playing Dungeons & Dragons. But to play that was very satisfying, and I was going to hand the baton over to Duncan, and Duncan has dropped the baton. He's making beers, and I don't fault him for that, but it did kind of start to put me into the expanse, into the void, into the nothingness. But I also thought, wow, I see all these people kind of doing this Patreon thing. I want to do a Patreon. I, I, I want to be compensated for this. And not necessarily because I feel as though I deserve it or you deserve to pay me, but I wanted to give you more value if you chose for what I was producing. It's always been free because for me, it's like the deal with you, like except for the times when I was trying to sell MeUndies or something through Feral Audio or through Starburns Audio. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll do the Patreon thing. And if I get a couple of people, I'll give them additional content. We can put on the games, the Dungeon Dragon stuff. That'll be good. I can kind of do it as a separate, because I felt kind of weird. It was sort of like auxiliary entertainment for you. Like you have to listen to us playing this Dungeon Dragons game for an hour and a half. Do you want to do that? If you don't, great. Just listen to the regular podcast. We'll just talk about episodes or talk about whatever's, you know, whatever the news is coming up. But if you do, then, you know, pay like, I don't know, $5 or $3 a month. And that's great. And so I put it up there, but I didn't really have any plan. And I was just like, well, I'll just see what happens. And only my mom joined up. And that was really sweet of her. But I had to stop it and put a halt to it because I didn't want my mom paying me $9 a month to listen to this podcast, especially if no one else is. And I don't fault anyone else for this. I don't care. But it also reaffirmed that I need to be doing this probably for nothing, or maybe some sort of sponsorship, or again, probably for nothing, because I like talking about Star Trek when I can talk about it on my terms. And if I have to have some sort of destination of producing content for anyone, then I don't want to talk about Star Trek. And so that was part of it. That certainly was part of it. Part of it was I got busy. You know, I was working on this TV show, this show called Love Comes Softly. It's a Western show, but of course I put in Star Trek stuff all over the place. Because I want to, but we finished that up. Part of it, I will also say, is, and let's go into Star Trek right now. Let's talk about the Picard trailer. The Picard trailer dropped, and it just bummed me out a little bit. It bummed me out because I was watching, and I was like, okay, you guys get a redo. You guys get a second season. What does that mean to you? How do you want to look at it? And so what do they do? But they do an alternate timeline thing. First of all, they bring in Q. Let's go back to the past. And then they do an alternate timeline where all the characters you knew and loved from first season of Picard are now different. And I just, my head just sunk. My son's head just sunk. Because we were like, we didn't know who the hell those people are anyway. One of them's a murderer, right? That girl's a murderer. One of them's a robot. Picard's a robot. You know, who are these people? One guy has a hologram that looks just like him. Who are these goofballs? And why do I care if they have an alternate universe version of them, like a different timeline? And then the biggest reveal of this Picard timeline trailer was that Seven of Nine, you know, this show's called Seven of Nine. No, it's called Picard, but Seven of Nine wakes up from her bed and she looks in the mirror and she doesn't have any Borg implants. She doesn't have Borg implants. Oh my God. What a drop. It was nonsense. It was absolute nonsense. And it just sort of bummed me out. And I started getting to a larger thought about this, is that if I don't like most of these shows, now I do like Lower Decks, and I'm excited about, to a degree, about Strange New Worlds. So there we go. I liked a couple of the short treks. But by and large, Discovery has been a disappointment. For sure, Picard has been a major disappointment. Lower Decks has been spotty. You know, I've enjoyed some of them. Some are like, whatever. You know, there's other content I can watch. But I started thinking to myself, have I become so old and jaded that now I've become a gatekeeper of Star Trek? And now that everything must pass through me, it must pass muster. If people enjoy it, that's fine. Now, I write science fiction. I have a TV show right now that we're working on with FX, and it's heavily sci-fi oriented. I have a master's degree. I teach screenwriting at a college. I've been on a TV show, The Invisible Man, for 2 seasons. I've been in a movie about science fiction. So maybe I have license to speak about that. But in this world where everyone has their own voice and there are a million different podcasts, a million different YouTube channels, a million different TV shows, why do I need to impart my values upon you? Why should I speak with any sort of degree of negativity and saying you shouldn't watch Picard because the story doesn't work or because it goes against everything that Jean-Luc Picard that I knew of stood for, because it's against the canon of Star Trek? Why should you care about that? Why should I be that person? So I started to feel as though if I'm not adhering to the future of Star Trek, if I'm saying I don't want to be a part of the future of Star Trek, Do I become an archaeologist of the past? That's the other option. Let me tell you again what I think about the naked time. I will say this other thing is that one of the problems with new Star Trek is that there is the earn and the burn. I was sort of calling it is that you burn through plot lines as they had the burn, but you have to earn it first. Two examples I have of old Star Trek not earning their storylines was The Naked Time and The Naked Now. Both of those are episodes where they take their characters and they place them in ridiculous circumstances because they're acting drunk, which is great, except we don't know those characters. Those are like episodes 2 and 4 respectively in the original series and The Next Generation. I'm like, I don't know what Captain Kirk's supposed to act like, or Mr. Spock. I don't know what Jean-Luc Picard was supposed to act like. I remember that first watching and going, I guess this is weird for Jean-Luc Picard. He does a little hop as he steps into Beverly Crusher's office. But how do I know? How do I know that they don't have a relationship? They didn't earn it. And instead, they're burning through other stuff. And they were starting in Discovery, they're starting to earn the burn, literally and figuratively, the burn of story and the burn of the storyline of the burn. But then they just started going through all sorts of madness. Same thing with Picard. I don't know who these characters are. I don't care who they are. They have earned nothing in my eyes. These characters in Picard first season, I don't even remember any of their names. Robot Girl or disgraced Starfleet officer 1 and 2 with hologram or weird Vulcan kid with sword. I don't know any other storylines because they move so fast. They burn through so much story. And now they're placing the supposition of, oh, remember how they were in that 10 episode arc? Well, guess what? Now they're all different. You haven't earned it. And until you earn it, you can't burn through those storylines. But maybe I started thinking, well, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm old fashioned. Maybe I'm archaic. You know, I'm certain that people from the 70s and the 60s and the 50s and the 20s look at storytelling 10, 20 or 30 years in advance or from their heyday and say, that's not how you tell a story. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you need to earn nothing now. Maybe you just throw it out there and then everyone has to reverse engineer it by reading additional content, by seeing what other people think about it, by doing your research and then coming to a sort of agreed upon storyline, which doesn't necessarily exist on the page or on screen. You see my philosophical conundrum about this is that I felt as though I was in this transitional stage in this vastness of nothing that I didn't know exactly where I stood. And so I didn't feel any sort of reason to talk about Star Trek. Because if I talk about the future and say, man, I hated that Picard trailer. I thought it earned nothing. And then people say, well, who cares about you, dude? I mean, like, I like it. Shouldn't I be available to like it? Shouldn't I be entitled to it? Yes, of course you should. But I'm telling you that you shouldn't, because it's on every level of my understanding of storytelling and of Star Trek and of character development and of everything else. On a logical level, it should fail. If you on an emotional level enjoy it, then I have no recourse but to say, great. So then where am I on that? Conversely, if I go backwards and say, I'm going to go through every single TOS episode and give it a ranking, then I become this historian. I became Mr. Atoz. See, do you know that? Do you know who that is? Mr. A to Z from I can't remember the name of the episode. I think it's not a great episode. It's third season where they go back in time. But we always remember, Mr. Atoz, you're a very busy man. You're a very agile man. And then they kind of zoom in on that guy. He was also in Bread and Circuses, I think. But he is like the chronicler of this planet before the sun's going to go nova, and he sends everybody back in time. So am I either Mr. Atoz, or am I going through Mr. Atoz's like time travel machine, which is actually a doorway? Like, it's just literally like this doorway which goes out to a balcony or something, I think, in the show, which is kind of ridiculous. See, I know all that stuff. I can talk about it all day. But does that have value, or am I just walking backwards? I found myself in this expanse. I found myself unwilling to and unable to talk about Star Trek for a good 3 months. I found myself floating in this. spinning around every once in a while, thinking about Star Trek, every once in a while moving away from Star Trek. Now, fortunately, there was no Star Trek going on. There's no TV shows or movies that I had to worry about. So there we were. Fine. What has pulled me out of it? What has moved me forward? Well, if you're on the Facebook page, we do have a Facebook page, you know what it probably was. The Star Trek convention was coming on. Creation's Star Trek convention was coming up. And this may be a two-parter of an episode here because now I'm shifting over into the thing which pulled me out. But we may need to get like the next generation's viewpoint on it. But Creation has these Star Trek conventions. You know, in 2019, we went to it and I talked about it. And I had my son there. We talked about it. And I think we went back in 2017 or something with George and Ryan Nagata, friends of the pod. And I was not looking forward to this one. In fact, let me go ahead and pull up. I have this. Let me go ahead and pull up this picture here. This is a picture here now of me at the convention. See, if you know, you get video now. You get like a like little bit of video. So, and I was not looking forward to it for a bunch of reasons. Now, first of all, you know a couple of reasons. One is that they, and let me just go to the page. Creation Entertainment lost their licensing for Star Trek. They lost it. And so they had to not show anything officially Star Trek. They couldn't say they were a Star Trek convention because CBS Viacom said, you know what? We think this has value. Give it back to us. Like, oh, okay, great. It's the same thing that you know, Star Wars happened to Star Wars, you know, like now it's all part of the D23, you know, pull it all back. What is this, May 17th, when they first started coming out with the imagery, I'm looking at this image right now, and they have this Creation Entertainment presents 55-year mission tour, United We Stand. Nothing talking about Star Trek, because they have lost the license for that, okay? The image, if you're watching on a podcast, you're listening on a podcast, and I encourage you to go to Creation, just look at this logo, because it is the most not Star Trek thing you could see. So overhead, well, I should say there are three characters in sort of a lime green, another one in a gray, another one in a purple. None of those are, I guess, maybe like Kirk's kind of green command outfit he wears every once in a while is okay. But the purple, I don't know. And the gray, I guess maybe that's Star Trek, the movie. Three people standing there, a girl with her hair draped over the guy in the center. They have insignias, all the exact same size. There's like no perspective on them, which are just these sort of little stars in the middle of a circle, these insignias on, you know, their left, you know, pectoral muscle, just sort of sitting there. Not the Star Trek Delta, can't have that. They do have thick colors like Star Trek. And then above them are three spaceships with blue, yellow, and red trails. But these are the most basic Starship. They are rocket ships. They are 1950s rocket ships. And the Photoshop is so bad that they have windows in them. And you can see right through one of the windows into the starfield behind them. It's like a light blue starfield. This is the most non-committal way of saying we have Star Trek, but we can't tell you we have Star Trek. The 55-year mission tour is this vague allusion to the fact that we are talking about Star Trek, but we cannot talk about Star Trek. Okay. So it just seemed like the most blatant cash grab you could get during a time of COVID. Well, although it was waning at the time. So I was like, okay, that's, you know, it's fine. I had no desire to go, but my son really did. And so as the convention was coming, I sort of made this agreement. Okay, we'll go. But it's secretly in my mind's like, I do not want to go, especially around this time when the Picard trailer dropped and I hit my own expanse of indifference and irritation and lack of desire to do this. I was like, I do not want to be here. I don't want to go to this. I don't want to go and see Halfway Trek. Now, on the positive, all of the Trek shows which did not hire me to be a writer were not going to be there. Like Lower Decks, I was not going to see, you know, Mike McMahon or any of those people who were like, oh, you know, I guess I'm not, you know, not going to be a writer for you. So I don't have to have that weird uncomfortableness. So that was at least a positive. But on the other hand, it's like, do I really want to go to this place? where like I'm such a tertiary part of it. And I just, as it got closer and closer, I just felt, no, I don't. And then as COVID was coming back, and you know, this podcast for a long time, I was like, let's not talk about it. Let's just talk about, you know, kinder, pleasanter things. But it's been a year and a half. And we have been in a pandemic lockdown, and we kind of started to go back into it as the Delta quadrant variant started showing back up. And please, dear God, get your vaccinations. If you're listening this long and you haven't got your vaccination, please get it now. Please trust in science. I believe that all of you probably have. If you don't, then I don't know what sort of rationalization you have. And if you don't listen to this podcast anymore, I'm sorry if I'm being negative towards you. But if you believe in Star Trek and you believe in science, you have to believe in this vaccination, because all it's doing is saving lives. And if you don't believe in that, then I don't know if you necessarily need to be in this podcast. And that's okay. That, again, that's your emotional preference. But for me, on a logical standpoint, I have to say vaccinations work empirically. Empirically, they work. But the Delta variant was coming back, and it's like, wow, even more of a reason not to go. Further along, everybody was dropping out. I wonder if I can actually go to the Creation Entertainment website here. Let me see. As I went to this creation, and I'm going to this webpage right now, they have a weird logo, this weird double logo. But as I went there, like, it started to see who was going to be the celebrity guests. And it went down, Gigi Edgley went there. I started noticing the guest cancellations. Michelle Hurd, Jeri Ryan, Nana Visitor. Let's see, Brent Spiner, John DeLancey, Terry Farrell, Nichelle Nichols, Sonequa Martin-Green, Doug Jones, Tim Russ, Gates McFadden, LeVar Burton. Who else? And, you know, let's see some of these goofballs. All big, huge names. Alexander Siddig, Robert Duncan McNeil, Jonathan Frakes. All of these people were backing out. Michael Dorn, none of the TNG cast showed up. A couple from Voyager, a couple from Deep Space Nine. William Shatner showed up. Why is he showing up? George Takei, Walter Koenig, they all showed up. I didn't understand why those guys showed up, but the younger people didn't. Well, it's because the Delta quadrant variant was coming through. And out of 150 people who could have been there, only 100 showed up. And the people who showed up was like the stunt doubles for something. I'm like, oh, okay. And so in that, I became even more entrenched in my belief that I didn't want to go to this. I kept on trying to convince my son, not to go. But he was steadfast. He wanted to. I said, buddy, there's not going to be anyone there. It's going to be underattended. It's not, they can't show any clips from Star Trek. And there's not going to be any guests. He says, Dad, I still want to go. First of all, he loves Vegas, but second of all, he loves Star Trek. So I gave in and I went. I went to the Creation Entertainment 55-year mission tour. Celebrating what? Who knows? 55 years of something. Took us 5.5 hours to get there. We stayed at the Westgate Hotel, former location of the Star Trek Experience. I got to pass by the hexagonal doors, which are now for gift shops. Made me so sad. Then we went to the convention on Saturday. And you know what? I had an okay time. I'll try to bring in my son to give us his interpretation of it, but he had a great time. And so as I tell you that I want you to listen to my version of Star Trek with this podcast, because I'm in the void. What pulled me out of my own morass was watching my son enjoy it, his experience. Because we went to go see William Shatner at first, and William Shatner is such a goofball. And he talked about Star Trek for maybe 2% of the time. He talked about swimming with sharks. He talked about his horses. He did talk a little bit about the Oscars when Seth MacFarlane brought him up there. And he said that it was a success, ultimately. I don't know about that. overall, the Oscars were a little bit of a failure for Seth, but for him, I'm sure he enjoyed it. But it was fun to watch him talk, watch my son laugh at him. It was fun to see him look at the costumes such as they were, everyone having to wear a surgical mask in addition to their costume. It was fun to see him go see Dennis McCarthy and listen to Dennis McCarthy talk. I learned some stuff there. Even Dennis McCarthy acknowledged that the music in TNG was wallpaper, as they call it, wallpaper music, where it's just kind of plastered onto the sides there with no expectation that you would notice it, tamped down by the producers. So that was kind of interesting to hear. And my son loved that. He loved getting into the nuts and bolts of music creation. He, you know, he's really good at music. And then we went to go see the costume event, and that was fun. We enjoyed that. We enjoyed looking at the costumes, and even though it was Mary Wiseman and her husband and Robin Curtis, and I was Mary Chifo, who was L'Oreal. I'm almost certain they missed like 90% of those costume references, especially the Baylock puppet. Although they did make the Baylock puppet like win, it took one of the events. Baylock puppet with the guy had a plexiglass screen that said executive producer Herbert F. Solo, which I loved because it's the end credits of the show. And it was so good. And it's like, that's my favorite one. That was my favorite one. It didn't win. The girls who were dressed as Andorian and Cardassian punk rockers that won the grand prize, but at least, you know, TOS got a little nod there. And the kid dressed as a Zindi bug. He couldn't see out of the little eye holes. His mother put him in the suit. I love that. He also won. And what was the other one? There was one other one that won. I can't remember. So, all right. And Ryan Nagata's, he wore his Star Trek First Contact spacesuit a couple years ago and took second place. And then another guy showed up in that. And Ryan was so certain he was going to win. He was so despondent because he thought that costume wasn't as good as his. And the guy didn't win. So there's a little bit of justice there. But he enjoyed that. And then the last thing I'll say about the convention is that maybe you know this, but 20 years ago, I created a Star Trek improv show based on the original series. And as I was looking through the program a couple weeks ago, I saw USS Improvised, Star Trek Improvised Musical. It's like, oh, well, that makes me feel a little jealous. I mean, that's a great idea. And then I was looking through created in San Diego in 2000. Like, wait a minute. I made that show. That's my show. I created the USS Improvised down in San Diego with San Diego Theater Sports. And then my friend Andy Barrett went up to Portland and he continued it on, turning into a TNG musical. And so I'm sort of the progenitor of that. And so I got to go back and I didn't go watch the show for various reasons, but I got to see the cast. Andy wasn't there, COVID concerns. So I got to see there and say, if I never make it to Star Trek, if I never make it on a panel for Star Trek, at the very least, something I created, a show I created 20 years ago, made it. And I went and I talked with the kids who were going to do the show. And I said, I made the show 20 years ago. And they looked at me like, oh, well, that's nice, old man. I felt like McCoy in TNG right now. You take care of her and she'll always bring you home. So that was kind of a nice little nod. And then the next day I went to the Pinball Hall of Fame and I got to play Star Trek Next Generation Pinball, which reminded me how much I loved pinball and how much I loved Star Trek. And so here I am, August 17th, 2021, perhaps on the other side of that period of darkness, of that void, of that expanse. Perhaps I am. Maybe I'm not. Who knows? I had fun, which is what Star Trek should be at the end of it. It shouldn't be about gatekeeping. It should be coherent. And part of my fun is ripping into Star Trek, any episode of Star Trek. I'll make fun of the Cloud Miners as much as I'll make fun of an episode of Discovery. I don't care. That's part of the fun too, because if they're not good writing, if they're not good story, okay. And then I'll podcast about it once in a while. Not religiously, not faith of the heart. Well, I'm going to do it every single week. I'm sorry. You're going to get these little bits and bobs. You can watch me on the videos. I don't know. I don't know what's to become. I don't know what podcasting is. 5 years ago, podcasting was quantifiable. I don't know if podcasting's the same as it was. Now it's sort of like episodic, and doing the weekly stuff is kind of like, not so much. So I've tried doing a little video here and there. I get kind of blocked sometimes. I put up stuff that YouTube doesn't like, stuff that Facebook doesn't like. Facebook will be fine with this. I'll put it up on Facebook. But I don't know. But that's okay, because we keep moving into the future, right? And if there are expanses and voids and abysses for me, I guess I'll move through it. And if you want to, you're welcome to join me. I place nothing upon you with expectations. I do not need you to be a gatekeeper of this. I do not need you to be a protector of it. I just ask if you want to come aboard the ship with me and go on the voyage, that we promise to have a good time. All right, that is my return podcast. I hope you enjoy it. My return video. If you don't enjoy it, okay, good for you. Like, comment, subscribe. I don't know. Go to the Facebook page, you know, subscribe to the podcast. Do whatever you want. It's fine. I'm okay with it. We shall see. So, all right. And we'll have more guests. We're going to go see, I think we're going to San Diego. We're going to see the 35th anniversary of Star Trek 4, maybe on the 22nd. I'm not sure. It's actually playing today right now, as I remember. So we'll check that out. So I'm Mike McCafferty. And every once in a while, when I feel like it, I just want to talk about Star Trek.